God good. And I really, the kids were all decked out in their I Am the Difference t-shirts. And they were being berserk in the altar. And when it came time to pray, they just went over and got with this young man and helped him pray through to the Holy Ghost. And you got to get on top of this now. The scary thing about that, if it had been 20 or 30 here that needed the Holy Ghost, that's the deal. We fill the house with empty vessels. God will fill the vessels. Praise God. And it's as simple as you just tell everybody you talk to. Just tell everybody you talk to. That's easy to do. Just tell everybody you talk to. Keep a card in your pocket. And everybody you talk to, just give them a card. Keep a track in your purse. Do something. Put something in their hands. There's no money in that. All right, we're in Psalms 119 again tonight. This is thing number two. We did thing number one Sunday night. And of the two, I was prepared for thing number two and was not prepared for thing number one. So anyway, here we go. Psalms 119, and we'll begin with verse 129. Would you say, thy testimonies are wonderful? Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Everybody say, the entrance of his word giveth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Praise God. You can be seated. Let's give up praise and thanks to God for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. Isn't God good? Isn't his word awesome for us tonight? We magnify you, Lord God, and we praise your name for your word forever settled in the heavens. Now, a few evenings ago, we talked about light, and I used an analogy of a little tree that sits on the deck at our house, and that tree inclines toward the west because that's about all the light that it's getting. And it literally, if that would continue, if that sequence of shadow and sun would continue, that tree would literally begin to bow in such a fashion it would never recover from. It would have a permanent bow in its trunk and in its physical shape, because it is inclining toward the light. And tonight I really want to be like that. I want to be leaning away from the shadow, and I want to be inclined toward the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. The word of God is light. Now, we're going to start in John chapter 1 tonight. And Sunday night was more affective. Tonight will be more cognitive, but we may go somewhere else before we finish. But at any rate, John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and everyone say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. To identify that and to know for sure what that means, go down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. If the Word is God, you've got to know that Jesus Christ is God. He is God on the earth in the form of a man. God came down to redeem our souls. Now, back to verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Again, verse 14, that's the one that came down, walked on the shores of Galilee, healed the blind, blessed their babies, drove the money changers out of the temple. He is the creator of all things. Verse 4, say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it is synonymous in term here tonight. Life and light are synonymous. You can't have life without the light of God. And when the life of God touches you, the light of God touches you. And when God turns on the light, he turns on the life. And the two are inseparable. They are, in fact, the same. Praise God. You can't do this without revelation. You can't know this. You can't know him without revelation. You can't come unto him without revelation. God's got to turn on the light for you. And that's true in every aspect of your your growth and your prospering in the kingdom of God. Now, down in the 10th verse, he was in the world was made by him. Again, he is the creator. When did the creator come to the earth? He came to the earth to die as the Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, but he was God Almighty. The prophet Isaiah said he would be the baby and he would be Almighty Father or Everlasting Father. He would be the single definite article, the Mighty God. Well, praise God. He was in the world was made by him, the world didn't know him, they missed him. He came to his own, he came to Israel, but his own received him not. When he came, they crucified him. But as many as received him gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And what is his name? Praise God. That name is the name above every name, and it's the only name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Praise God. Now, if we would go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we would see that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Everyone say, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Praise God. Chapter 3 in John, not 1 John, but the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. After verse 16, which we don't have to deal with because everybody knows it, but everybody misquotes it because it doesn't say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It doesn't say shall, it says should. It's a conditional. If you believe on him, you shouldn't perish. But there's a lot of people that believe on him cognitively, academically, but they don't know him by revelation. They don't know him in spirit and in truth. They know there was a man, Jesus. They believe that he died on a cross, but that is not salvation. Read the book of Acts. The birthday of the church is Acts chapter 2. It begins. The gospel record is there and very clear. Everybody that came to God was born of the water and born of the Spirit. They preached a monolithic gospel. It was repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. You can't get into the kingdom any other way. All right. There in John chapter 3 then, verse 17, he didn't send his son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Verse 18, he that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation of the world. Now here's the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. In the bar rooms, they have the lights down. If you turned up the lights, everybody would go home. In the honky-tonks, it's dark. In places where people love to sin, they love to sin in the dark. Everybody looks prettier, everything looks better, and you can literally forget about your troubles when the lights are down. But if you're going to live for God, you've got to turn on the lights, and you've got to walk in the broad daylight of the Word and the revelation of God. Praise God. There are a lot of things that we do around here that have the same impact as you. Have you heard of sunshine laws, like with the legislature and with the Congress? Sunshine laws mean they can't get back in some little smoke-filled room in the back there and hatch out a law that nobody knows about and then impose it on the unsuspecting populace. But they have to open it up and everybody has to see. Well, and if everybody can see it, they tend to be better. In their behavior, they tend to be better. That's why we ask our young people to stay in a group, not go off by yourself, to stay in well-lit places. Go, because when everybody can see you, you tend to be better. And that's not just true of our young people. Our adults need to walk in the sunshine, walk in the light. And this is the condemnation. Men love darkness rather than light. Your flesh loves the darkness. It wants to. It started with Adam. Adam's hiding on the trail in the Garden of Eden from God. In the first instance of sin, we see men hiding from God, and darkness is a great place to hide. But David blows the cover. David said, even though I hide in the darkness is light about me. Come on, you can't hide from God. You might as well come out of the darkness and come on into the light of God. Verse 20, everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Praise God. So if you start getting a really nasty response from people when you begin to talk to them about the Word of God, it's because they're doing evil. People are really, really hard against the church. It's because they got evil in their life. People that come up against you and they don't even know what you are particularly, but you just, something about you gets their hackles. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had that happen? Somebody, they don't even know you're apostolic. But as soon as they meet you, it's like two dogs that meet in the dead of night and just their hackles get up. Something, and I feel the same way about them. It's like they got darkness moving in them and I've got light moving in me. And there's something about that that's like oil and water. Well, it's because their deeds are evil. Praise God. But he that doeth truth, and by the way, truth is not something you think or know or believe. Truth is something you do. Everything in the kingdom of God is something you do. That should be so. It should never have to be even spoken. It's so elementary. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So we don't mind bowing our knee at an altar and saying, God, forgive me for my lousy ego. God, cleanse me for my stinking attitudes. God, I don't care if there's somebody else in the altar. God, forgive me for a mind and a spirit that are not given to the word of God. We don't mind opening up our lives to God because we love the light and we want more of it. And the vestiges of darkness that we have touching us, lingering shadows of things that we were and places we came out of, we're going to break away from all of those things. We're going to shake loose from all of those things. We're going to leave those things back there behind the blood and in a life that was before our knowledge of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. I don't know about you. I want more of this. I want more of God. I want more of the word. I want more light. I want more Jesus. I want more Holy Ghost. I want more anointing. I want more shouting. I want more dancing. I want more singing. I want more of it. I don't want to settle down into less of it. When Jesus came into his first area of ministry, and he began to move in some areas, it's called Galilee of the Gentiles. The word of God quotes the Old Testament prophet in Matthew chapter 4. The people who sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. People that live outside the covenant of God live under the shadow of death. They live in a place where there is no light at all. When they were coming out of Egypt, Egypt was covered up by a plague of darkness so thick that you couldn't even have artificial light. They couldn't get up from where they were and walk across the yard or across the neighborhood. They couldn't get a lamp to burn is the implication there. But there was light in the house of all of God. People in Goshen. There's a difference between us and the people of this world. There's a difference. Do you want light in your house? My God, these are desperate days. I don't want to be walking in the darkness. I want to walk in the light of God. I've got things I need to do. I don't need to be stumbling and tripping and bumbling over everything in my way. I've got to be able to see. I've got a household. I've got a pilot. I've got a job I've got to do in the kingdom of God. And you've got a family and you've got loved ones and we need the lights on. And when you walk into where they are, when you walk into that school or that job or that office or into that house where nobody believes it but you, then light is sprung up for them that sit in darkness. And under the shadow of death, light is sprung up. God has placed you strategically so that you will be an incursion. You will be a force from another world that moves into their world of darkness. God didn't kill us and take us to heaven. God laid his hand on us so that we could move into and be change agents in our world. If it wasn't for the job that he has for you, he could just kill you as soon as he filled you with the Holy Ghost. But he's not satisfied with you. He wants you to be a seed he can plant among them. And he wants more. God always wants more. He's not satisfied with you. He'll leave the 99 and make his way into the wilderness looking for the one. God's got an appetite for souls. Is there anybody in the house that's willing to lift up your light and go into a dark place and say, I am the representative, I am the ambassador of another kingdom. I've come here to dispel the darkness. I've come here to make some light shine in this place. Praise God. Now, Matthew chapter 5, and beginning in verse 14. Now, these are not just poetic words and imagery here, but these are the real dynamics of a spiritual reality. And I don't think the light that we're talking about tonight is wave and particle like the ambient light from these artificial lights or from sunlight itself, because God made light and 4 days later he made sun, moon, and stars. There's something powerfully spiritual involved in these words, and the treatment of it as light is the best that we can do, because it's the best that the Word of God can do. Your concept of light and darkness is in the natural the best representative idea of the concept of God's way and the other way, God's world and the other way, God's kingdom and the other kingdom. Matthew chapter 5 and beginning in verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Everyone say, I am the light of the world. Tell your neighbor, if I don't shine on them, they'll never see God. Yeah, you need to get this. If we don't do this, they won't see it. The bartender's not doing it. The false prophets are not doing it. The false churches are not doing it. The churches that have voted for worldly ways instead of biblical ways, they're not doing it. There's a lot of churches that have turned out the lights and they've gone home, or they might as well. But if we don't do it, it's not going to happen in our neighborhood, in our school, in our job, or in our home. Somebody say, I'm the light of the world. Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Praise God. Travelers coming to a city in the midst of a dark night can see it because it's in a place of prominence. God has placed his church in a place of prominence in the spirit. And not, I'm not talking about in a secular way or a political way or an economic way. I'm just telling you that when hungry people are traveling through the night and they're looking for a place to find some rest in their soul, God is going to put you, or he will have already put you, in a strategic place of prominence so that traveler can see you and there's something about you that touches their mind and touches their spirit, and they're drawn to you because you've got what they need. My God, you've got to let that shine. The devil wants to corrupt you. He wants to deceive you. He wants to distract you. He wants to do anything he can to keep you from letting that light out, because you're a city set on a hill. Neither do men put light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light. In a proactive and a very deliberate way, we want to let this thing shine. I want them to hear me pray. I want them to see me live for God. I want them to know that I'm different. I'm not going to stand on a street corner and cry, I'm good and you're bad, I'm saved and you're lost. But as I rub shoulders with them on the job, friend, all you've got to do is have a clean mouth and they know that you're not like them. All you've got to do is be faithful to your wife or husband and they know that you're not like them. All you've got to do is say, no, I didn't watch that last night. No, I didn't go to that movie. No, I'm not going to the barroom tonight. No. All you've got to say is, when it's time to go home, I'm stopping for a Coke. That's right. I'm going to have a big cold bottle of water. That's all you got to say. They'll know. And the longer they watch you, the brighter you shine. Well, praise God. You don't hide that. My God, it mystifies me, apostolics that are ashamed of what they are in the kingdom of God. It mystifies me that you've got the word of life in your vessel and you're ashamed to say it or show it or tell somebody or hold it up high. The world is lost without you. This is way too late in the dispensation. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light so that we can show forth his praises. That's the job. That's who we are. It's all about light, and it's all about letting the light shine. Brother Larry Booker preached here last year, and he preached a message that I requested of him that he had used in the No Limits Conference last year in Sacramento, and he preached about barbarism in the 21st century. And he used this passage from Psalms 119, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." And he didn't deal on it much or do an exposition on it. He just simply used it as a launching place to talk about how our culture is descending again into barbarism because it's departing from the Word of God. The further we get from the mores and the ideas of the Word of God, the further we distance ourselves from that as a nation, as a culture, the more that cultural rot sets in. And I'll just tell you the in regard to his message, but in regard to what we see around us and in transformed lives, there is a civilizing influence in the Word of God. Godly people are better people. They're better employees. They're better bosses. They're better at what they do. Godliness works good fruit in your life. Praise God. I mean, would you want to live, even if you were an atheist, would you want to live in a Judeo-Christian culture, or would you want to live in an Islamic culture that dehumanizes women and cuts people's heads off in the public square and won't let little girls go to school and trains little boys to be suicide bombers? What a happy group that is. The faith of God in this Word of God has a civilizing influence, and all of the symptoms of cultural rot, or if you would, darkness, all of those things are addressed by the Word of God systematically. In a systematic way, the Word of God addresses everything that causes you to rot on the inside as a person of value that God wants to actualize your potential in the kingdom of God. The ways of this world will cause you to waste every precious thing God has planted in you. It's like rotting on the inside. It's darkness on the inside. Jesus said, if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? If your revelation is a revelation of sin and lying and cheating and hating and bigotry and prejudice, and you are filled with all of those things, you're full of darkness and you're full of rot. But the Word of God addresses all of those things in a systematic way. You can come out of the darkness and you can come into the light of God. Praise God. Every behavior and dysfunction we see around us today that cripple people, and people want to have happy homes, but they shoot themselves in the foot. People want to have happy, strong marriages and vibrant relationships, but they're wrapped up in dysfunction, and they can't achieve living in a constructive, mutually beneficial arrangement because of that rot down on the inside, that darkness down on the inside. But that light of God has the power to rehabilitate anybody, to make you over again. I don't care what you're bound by. When God turns the light on, there is no limit to what God can do in your mind and in your spirit. Is there anybody that can say, truly, in my heart, I am a better person for having come into the kingdom of God? I used to be a liar, and now I tell the truth all the time. I used to be a cheat, and now I'm actually an honest person. My God, the Word of God really has a power of rehabilitation. Praise God. Praise God. And it frames you and builds you so that you can come into a place to actualize your potential in the kingdom of God. And that probably is a pretty good definition for life, is the actualization of potential. You're not really living. You're just existing if you're not becoming better and stronger and of more value to those around you. Not really living. That's a disappointing thing. We'll do a little Bible study here, and then we'll stop. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You ought to know it by heart. You say you use it all the time. I do it, and I do it on purpose. There are passages you need to know, and this is one of them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer up your body, present your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Got to give it all. Got to give it all. And be not conformed to this world, that's darkness, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say, God will renew my mind. He really, really will. There is a curative, a powerful effect of the word of God on your mind. You can have your mind changed. Can you say you think, do you think differently than you did before you were exposed to the word of God? Is there anybody that crawled up out of a deep pit of bigotry and a deep pit of personal condemnation? There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but walk after the spirit. But you drug condemnation around like a ball and chain all your life, but when God came and shined the light of truth in your life, now you're free from that. You wake up in the morning and you can say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You check your life for the last several weeks or months, and you say, my God, I've been actually happy. I feel a little light in my feet. I believe that I've got some joy in my life. The joy, the light of God has the power to change your mind. Praise God. Now, the light of God is primarily coming by the power of the word of God. That's how it comes to you. The entrance of thy word giveth light and giveth understanding to the simple. So it is amazing to me. People want to hear stories. They want to hear schemes about success. They want to hear all kinds of pop psychology, but they don't want to hear the word of God. There's a famine in the land for the word of God. But it's the word of God that enters in and brings light. Now we'll spend a little time in Ephesians here before we stop tonight. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll actually work backward a couple in verse in chapter 5 and then a few in chapter 4. 5 and 26 of Ephesians. You okay? Yeah. Praise God. We'll start in verse 25. Everyone say, husbands, love your wives. If you're sitting by them, you tell them, you better. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, this business about the husband being the head of the house and being the authority of the house, it is held in perfect tension and balance by the requirements of the love of God. Yes, you are in charge. You get to make all the hard decisions. But you take the bullet. You give yourself for your wife. Whatever you have to do to edify her and build her and lift her, you do it. Because that's what Christ does for the church. And you're like Christ and she's like the church. And there's a vow there. Praise God. Okay. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Christ washes his church by the word. Come stand here, Josh. Josh comes in and prays through, and he's a mess. He's just an absolute mess. He's got darkness all inside of him. He's all full of blemishes and wrinkles and what all does it say? Wrinkles and spots and blemishes and that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. And before God's through with him, by the word of God, literally he's spot free, he's wrinkle free, he's free of every blemish. It has transformed his mind. His mind is not like the world anymore. Now when he hears bad news, he doesn't associate with it because he's heard the good news and he's excited. And when the world is, you all right? When the world is sad, he's happy. And when the world is depressed, he's got joy because the word of God has washed him. But you can't get that with anything else. You can't get that with behavior modification. You can't get that with the ways of the world. You can't get that with a better education or more money in your pocket or another degree from a fine university. You can't get that anywhere but the word of God. If there's dysfunction in your life, the word is what'll wash you. Because the entrance of the word of God giveth light. And you may be the dumbest thing on your street, but this gives understanding to the simple. Praise God. A man that reads the word of God, even though he's a fool, he reads that passage that says, If you keep your mouth shut, even if you're a fool, people will think you're wise. So you see him sitting there. He never speaks because he don't want to blow his cover. But you think he's wise. The word of God gives understanding even to the fool or the simple. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll wrap up here. I want God to cleanse me totally. Listen to me. You don't get cleansing, total cleansing, when you come and bow a knee at an altar. There is a mystical and a powerful supernatural cleansing that happens when you go down in the water in Jesus' name. But how many of you were perfect in the real term when you came up out of the water? I know you were perfect in God's terms because he that night wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what grace is. But as he's writing it, he's looking over at you saying, we got a lot of work to do. And the job starts. But he gives me credit. I just hired on to the best company in the world. He gives me credit when I walk in the door, born again of the water and the Spirit. He puts my name on the pension plan. I've got the retirement. I've got it all. I've got a mansion. I've got a white robe. I didn't do anything to earn it. He bought it for me by his sacrifice. But now I have to learn how to walk in that kingdom of God. Keep myself clean. Praise God. Now, well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 11. Now, the Word of God will come to you in many different forums. The Lord has chosen to work with us by ministry. And every day of my life when I pray, I thank God for my pastor and I thank God for all the preachers that have come my way. I remember sitting on those pews in Baton Rouge and old brother Hewlin Meyer preaching, and what a giant in the Holy Ghost. He's gone on to be with God. But I can remember clearly laying under an old house working on plumbing and listening to brother Meyer on a little tinny recorder underneath the house. I ran an extension cord under there just to have Brother Meyer under there with me. And Brother C.G. Weeks preaching old time Pentecostal theology there in that house. And my pastor preaching and teaching, and Brother Billy Cole coming and adding to us, and Brother Larry Book, every one of these men that come in here. Let me just tell you something about that. I don't use this pulpit as an apprenticeship program. I don't bring in, and people have faulted me for that, but I don't bring in young men to give them experience, not in this pulpit and not with your family and your life. I've got a word for you. If you want to be a preacher, there's a street corner right down here. You want to be a preacher, there's a nursing home right down here. You want to be a preacher, there's a jailhouse right down here. Knock yourself out. You want to be a teacher, there's a million people in the metro area here. Surely you can teach a Bible study. But if you just want to stand in a pulpit and yell, but I try to bring people of substance here. And through the years, you've been blessed by some of the finest preachers in Pentecost that come, and they've planted the word of God into this. And what we are as a church family, we are because of the word of God that's been planted in us by men of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, he begins to tell us about God's plan for the delivery of the word, or the entrance of the word into our lives. And he said it's like this. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's, as we know, the fivefold ministry. And no one man that I've ever met walks in all of those areas of giftedness. I've sat under wonderful teachers. I know some men that I regard as apostles. We have poured water over Brother Cornwell's hand and made him the bishop or the apostle of our conference here in Alabama. I regard Brother Windross down in Mexico as an apostle to Central America and Mexico. There are thousands of people, hundreds of churches that are in operation tonight because of his ministry. He's an apostle. He's an apostle. There are prophets, there are teachers, Brother Mark Morgan, and some of these brethren that have come through here move in the gift of prophecy, and haven't they been a blessing to us? But the entrance of the word in a primary sense comes to us by the fivefold ministry. Everybody say, preach to me. All of these fivefold individuals are practitioners of the word of God. And they are the voice of God coming to us from different textures and in different sounds. But it's the same word of God. And he breaks the bread and he feeds us with it. And the entrance of his word bringeth light. I want to be in the house when the doors are open. When it's revival time, if it's on a Saturday night, I'll be here. Now, see, you think I'm here just because I'm behind this desk, but I want you to know, my wife and I were in the house of God, whatever was going on. If we were moving, we sat on the boxes, we got ourselves ready, we left it all in one big pile, we went to church, we came back. If I had a car to repair, I scrubbed up with Gojo. If I was coming home late for work, I sat on the back row with a hard hat ring and holes in my clothes. I didn't care how I smelled. I just want you to know it's important to me to be in the house of God because I need the word to enter in and bring light. I've got darkness all around me every day. Praise God. We need a revelation. The old timers would tell you, you need to be there when the doors are open. I grew up in a church that was about 40% over 60 years of age. They were towering oaks in the kingdom of God, and they were there on Wednesday night. They were there on revival nights. We would have revival all week long, and they were there. They worked hard. They worked jobs. The young men worked jobs, but they showed up at the house of God. You're telling me I overemphasize it. I'm telling you, I can't. You tell me I talk about it too much. I tell you it's impossible. Gradualism can set in on anybody. You say, well, I'm doing well in the kingdom. I want to keep on doing well, and I want to get better than I am right now. Preach to me, preacher. Open up this glorious book and let light move in my soul. Preach. Preach to me. Praise God. Verse 12, for the perfecting. Everyone say the equipping. For the equipping of the saints, the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So the word of God comes to you like seed and like light, and it is for the equipping of the saints. It gives me skill sets I didn't have before. The word of God plants knowledge and wisdom down inside of you didn't have before, and giftedness comes to you by the word of God. The Spirit of God is essential, but the Spirit of God is just a part of the package. It's the Spirit and the Word working together. He said, if you're going to worship God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Thy word is truth. You've got to have both of those things to be complete in what God has planned for you. So the perfecting of the saints, or the equipping of the saints, is the job of the fivefold ministry. For the work of the ministry, it's a shame, and it's a travesty if you think ministry only happens here behind this pulpit. Praise God. I want all the ministers in the house to stand. I have to train other places to do that. Now, some of you are standing. You're not actively involved in anything. You just don't want to be here, the only one not standing up. But the body ministers, that's why we have you come and lay your hands. You don't need a card-carrying preacher to come and lay his hands on. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I understand calling the elders, but that's not calling ordained preachers. That's calling wise elder brothers and sisters in the house of the Lord that have walked away, and they understand the things of the Spirit. Well, praise God. I am not a part of a preacher's union that thinks it's in our best interest to keep you on the pew and make a division between laity and deity. I mean laity and ministry. No, I meant what I said. I'm an elder brother who works in the kingdom of God right alongside you, shoulder to shoulder, ministry to ministry. I've been given a job. But there's no big people and little people in the house of God. When I had these children up here praying a while ago, I didn't do it just to be cute. I did it because I understand there's power in their innocence and in their faith, probably more than you and I might have tonight. Praise God for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's the word of God making entrance and bringing light so that the body can be edified. We're building up the body together. How are we doing that? By the power of the word of God and revelatory things. Praise God. You can be seated for a minute. I'm almost done. I'm not going to finish, but I'll just cut up short here. But when you first come into the kingdom, you don't understand. There's people doing jobs all over the house. There's people with their hands on the kingdom and doing the work of the kingdom. But as you handle the word, you begin to understand. There's a place here for me. There's a job here for me. There's a ministry here for me. Praise God. I want to be a part of. I want to build you up. I want you after you're having contact with me, I want you to be better in the kingdom of God. I won't ever sit down with you and fill your ear full of gossip and garbage. It's not going to happen because I've got a mandate from the word of God. I have been equipped. It's my job to build you up. It's my job to give you a hug and say, gal, I don't care where you came from or what your background is. You're going to be mighty in the kingdom of God. You believe it. I'm telling you, I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not joking with you. I'm not just winking and nodding. I'm telling you, God's going to do something mighty with you. Praise God. Everybody in this house needs to have the mentality, I'm here to make people better. We shouldn't ever have to preach about gossip. We shouldn't have to say a word about cutting people down. Only thing we need to talk about is we've got a mandate from God to build one another up. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him we're all in the same boat. And tell them I'm a fool if I drill holes in this boat. We're edifiers. We're builders. We've been equipped to do that. That's what light does when it comes in. That's the understanding God has given to us in our simple minds. Verse 14, that we henceforth no more be children. God wants us to be stable and solid. Speaking, verse 15, speaking the truth in love. You don't have to beat people over the head with it, but you can love people. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and to love people. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable and to love people. Don't be afraid for people to see you like you really are, because the kingdom of God is a different place. It's not like it is out there. Please don't bring that junk in here. We don't have time for it. We're not interested in it. Leave it outside. We've got a job to do. We're all about loving people and building people up. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted or strengthened by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, making increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. We're all about building up the kingdom of God. This for your homework assignment, finish this chapter and you'll get a pretty good overview of life in the light, the differences it makes in character and in disposition. Praise God. Let's stand together. Let's come down around the altar, could we, all of us? If you're with your families, come with them. If you don't have a family, adopt somebody. Praise God. Let's start with a prayer of repentance. I want us to just repent over everything that we are that's not like God. Let's start with a prayer. Oh, God, just cleanse us, forgive us. God, cleanse me of everything that's hateful. Come on, step up close. There's nothing dangerous down here in this altar. God, just build me, make me what I need to be. Cleanse me, forgive me. I want to be mighty in your kingdom, God. I want to be of value and I want to add value to everyone around me. I want to glorify you and I want to be a blessing. Praise God. Praise God. Glory. cleanse me, forgive me, God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. 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 Praise God. God. Now, I want you to offer yourself up for God's use. Our world is full of darkness, but I believe God wants to pour out an outrageous revival in this city before you and I make our exit here. I believe God wants to touch this city and shake it. Is there somebody that wants to be a change agent? Somebody to bear the light? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let my house be filled with light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take my hands.
Take my hands, Lord.
Praise God. Now, I want you to pray. If you're with your family, pray for them. If you're with someone else, lay your hands on them. Begin to pray for them that they'll be anointed, that they'll be used of God, that God will open up a door of favor, a door of opportunity for them. God, bless my brother. Bless my sister. Make them mighty in the kingdom. Cause them to be mighty. Cause them to be blessed. Hallelujah. Pray an anointed prayer for them. I want you to talk in tongues over that person you're praying for. Let's give him praise together. We magnify you. We worship you. We lift you up. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Shake somebody's hand and tell them, I'm going to be used of God. Are you young folks going to be a difference? Are you going to make a difference? Yeah, I believe you are. I really do. I really do. God bless you. So good to see you in the house. So good to have our visitors in the house tonight. Now, we have a praise team meeting in the prayer room. We also have a team leader meeting because you may need to get an assignment from Sister Linda. Now, Brother Kenny Avery has a team that's going to tear down the auditorium tonight. And if you want to be a part of that, we're gonna move all the chairs out of the floor area in preparation for Saturday. Saturday is the team fair. Everybody say praise the Lord. We're going to be at the team fair to learn what ministry's like at New Life. But if you want to help stack these chairs and straighten this place up, check with